This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, in today's session of Qareeb Mujib, we will be talking about du'as for ease. Prayers for ease. Yani those du'as in which we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for us. And the fact is that it is of the huge blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His slaves that He removes hardship from them. And He makes things easy for them. And He not only makes things easy for them, but He guides them and He grants them ease in their matters so they're able to do the little and the big things. Because when a person has ease from Allah, when things are facilitated for them, then only they're able to do things that they would not be able to do otherwise. For example, if we are in this class right now, you're listening to this right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled you to have an internet connection, to have a device that lets you run certain apps, programs, etc., so that you could listen to this program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the health, the ability to listen, the ability to follow along, the ability to focus, the ability to have that freedom in your life and that time to be able to listen to this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the ability to make this a priority right now. So anything that we do, whether it is big or small, whether it is something worldly or religious, remember, we are only able to accomplish it with the help of Allah. We are only able to do it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy for us. And ease, remember, it is a huge, huge favor of Allah. And we realize that this is a huge favor of Allah at times when we don't have that ease, at times when things are difficult for us, when we are tested with hardship. So ease is not something that is available at all times in the sense that everything is not easy for you all the time. It is not always guaranteed. It is not always granted to a slave as much as he would like. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, puts us in hardship, puts us in some difficulty, then at that time, we realize how huge of a favor ease is. And the thing is that in our lives, when we do anything, big or small, we should recognize that we were only able to do this with the help of Allah. Like Shu'aib alayhi salam, he said that وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and my success is not but through Allah. Yani, if I'm able to do anything, this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled me to do it. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, upon Him I have relied, I put my trust in Him, not in myself, not in the resources that I have at my disposal. No, I put my trust in Allah. وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيب, and to Him I return. And this is how we should also view ourselves, that if I am able to do anything, big or small, then I did it with the tawfiq of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the opportunity, gave me the ability, gave me the tawfiq. That is how I was able to do it. And for future, I put my trust in Allah, not in myself, not in my means, not in my resources. And I turn to Him. I turn to him for help, for ease. I turn to him for the acceptance of my efforts. So ilayhi unib. So remember that it is not in your control to make the different matters of deen or dunya easy for yourself, or even easy for someone else. For example, if your child is suffering from a headache or from some pain in their body, yes, you can offer comfort food. Maybe you can offer some pain relief medication. Maybe you can offer an ice pack or a heat pad or something like that. But you cannot take the pain away. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can remove that pain. You cannot tell them to be patient. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can enable your child to have sabr. So ease, remember, it is entirely in the hand of Allah. He is the one who makes things possible. So when we find ourselves in any kind of difficulty, then we need to turn to Allah and we need to ask Allah that, Ya Allah, you create ease for me. Ya Allah, you make this matter easy for me. And the fact is that all of us, every single human being is tested with hardship in their life. And each person is tested in a different way. Children are tested in a different way. Adults are tested in another way. Mothers in a different way. Fathers in a different way. People who are working as employees or they are in the position of an employer. And each person is tested with some kind of hardship. And typically what happens is that when we are tested with hardship, where things get tough, we tend to get stressed out. And as we get stressed out, we snap, we lose our composure, we begin to panic, or we begin to have doubt in ourselves, or we begin to doubt Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is the right way of responding to difficulty? That we turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is the one who can make things possible. Ease is in His hand. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And so Allah is the one who can make things easy for me. I turn to Him. إِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. And one thing that we need to remember is that, yes, there is difficulty, there is hardship in life, but along with that, there is also ease. And if one thing is difficult for you, at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made something else easy for you. Or if you are facing difficulty in one aspect, there is certainly ease in another aspect. And what is also promised is that after hardship, there is ease. So with hardship is ease, and after hardship is also ease. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions both facts in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah shall make after difficulty ease. Meaning the difficulty that you're in right now is not permanent. Every difficulty of this world is temporary. It is going to come to an end. It is going to pass. And after that, there will be ease. There will be relief. Because the darkest night also comes to an end. Right? The harshest winter also comes to an end. So, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states the fact that فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with hardship is ease. With hardship is ease. And the ulama say that this means that with every hardship there is double ease. Yani the ease is double that of the hardship that you are experiencing at the moment. And really, if you examine any challenge that you have in your life, yes, the difficulty is real. It's not imaginary. It is there. It is very painful. It can be incredibly hard. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just put you in difficulty. He has also given you ease at the same time. And the ease that He has given you is double that of the hardship that you are experiencing. And if we view our trials this way, then it would be so much easier to deal with them. Our difficulties, they become harder on us. Why? Because we blow them out of proportion and we magnify them. How? By entirely focusing on them and not looking at the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created or the ease that He has promised. So فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With hardship there is ease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about His messengers in the Quran that things got so difficult for them that the people that they were sent to began to believe that they had been lied. Yani they had been lied to by the messengers, that the messengers are not true. Astaghfirullah. Why? Because they saw the messengers in so much difficulty that they began to think that if they were really messengers of Allah, they would not have been tried so severely. But then what happened? جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Our help came to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. So sometimes, you know, difficulty becomes so intense that you begin to wonder that there is no end to it, or that now things will not get easy, or now there is only, you know, death and destruction and ruin. But the help of Allah comes right at that time. And the ulama compare this to the darkness of the night, that when the night becomes very dark and very intense, then day breaks, right? At the beginning of the night, yes, you know, for example, the time of Maghrib, there is darkness, but there is also some light. And then as the night continues, the darkness intensifies, it becomes deeper. And there comes a point where it is completely dark, very, very pitch dark. And then light comes in and the darkness slowly begins to fade away. So darkness will fade when? After it has reached its peak. And this is how a lot of times disease is also, right? That it reaches its peak. The symptoms, they reach their peak and things get really, really hard. And then comes relief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا. He is the one who sends down rain after they had despaired. Any after people begin to give up hope. Any after things got really, really hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain. So when things get incredibly hard, that is actually a good sign. It is actually a good sign of what? Of the fact that next is going to be ease. Next is going to be relief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great help comes. And we learn this in the Quran in so many stories. For example, in Surah Al-Kahf, we learn about the story of the youth, that what happened with them. They fled from their hometown and they hid in a cave, right? And when they hid in the cave, they called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Our Lord, grant us relief from yourself. Sorry, grant us from yourself mercy and prepare for us from our affair right guidance. So first of all, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. And secondly, they also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for right guidance. Mercy, why? So that their difficulty is alleviated. And right guidance, why? So that they know how to, you know, operate in that difficulty. What they should do to help themselves and to bring ease in their affair. Any, what is the right course of action? Because they didn't want to make any mistakes. A mistake in that situation could be very, very dangerous. Because these youths, they had actually fled their hometown. Why? Because they had believed in Allah alone. And the king of the time was an idolater who forced his people to worship idols. And if anyone left the religion of the king would execute them. So these young men did not want to be on the false religion of their king. They wanted to cling to the truth, to the worship of Allah alone. And when they realized that there was no way of surviving in their hometown, they knew that they had to flee. And when they fled, they left their home, they planned that they would meet at a cave. And when they met at the cave, when they took refuge in the cave, they hid over there. And this is similar to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when they left Mecca, first they went and hid in a cave. And then they took a different route to Medina. So these young men also, they hid in the cave. And then in the cave, when they got there, they called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, you give us from yourself mercy." And remember that mercy, the rahmah of Allah, includes every good thing, such as food and safety and calm and removal of anxiety and rest and sleep, every good thing, any good thing. So they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. And they said, "Min ladunka rahma." Why? Because mercy comes only from Allah. And they asked for special mercy from Allah. They were asking for extraordinary help, a great help, because their situation was extraordinary. And this shows us that when we are in a very unusual situation, a very tight, a difficult situation that we have never experienced before, that is not typical at all, at that time, we should expect extraordinary help from Allah, help that is not typical. We should have this faith, this yaqeen that Allah is able to help me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do the extraordinary, the unusual in order to help me, in order to bring ease. He is able to do miracles. So, min ladunka rahma. And they said, wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada, that, oh Allah, guide us to the right course of action in our affair. Yani teach us what the right course of action is, because when a person is in difficulty, sometimes their anxiety, their fear, it clouds their thinking. They're not able to think correctly. They're not able to, make the right judgment. And sometimes out of haste or out of impulse, out of, being in a state of heightened emotions, it's a heightened emotional state, a person is not able to think clearly. They become impulsive, they become hasty, they begin to give up. They're not able to, do what is right. So they're asking Allah that, "Ya Allah, you guide us." So Sheikh As-Sa'di, he writes in his tafsir that in order to find ease in their matter, these youths did a number of things. First of all, they went to a place where they could actually hide from the king. And they didn't just stay in danger and do nothing to help themselves. No, they left the place where they were in danger. And where did they go? They found a cave and they realized that they could find safety there. They could hide over there. So they went over there. So they did what was in their capacity. They used the means that were available to them. And secondly, after putting in their effort, what did they do? They put their trust in Allah. And they did not rely on themselves or on any other creature. Rather, they put their trust in Allah and they asked Allah for help. They prayed to Allah that, "Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada." So when they combined effort and prayer, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he granted them special mercy, so he caused them to sleep. He took their fear, their worry, their anxiety away. He caused them to sleep for a very, very long time. And the danger of that king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that away completely. Because by the time they woke up and they went back, what happened? That king was gone. That oppression was gone. It was finished. That era was over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them special mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showed them the right course of action, because in this situation, it wasn't right for them that they go and use violence or they become confrontational. No, it was in their best interest that they avoid confrontation and they go and hide and just protect themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to the right course of action. So how do you get ease in your life? How do you deal with challenges and difficulties in your life? This is an example, a blueprint, you know, something that we need to follow. That first of all, do whatever is in your capacity. Don't just sit there doing nothing, waiting for the help of Allah to fall from above. Yes, Allah's help comes from above, but you also need to do what is in your capacity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you capable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in this test to see what you do. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He didn't put you in this test so that you sit idle and you just expect things to happen on their own. No, you have to do what is in your capacity, and that is your test. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing in you, that what is it that you choose to do? What action do you do? And then secondly, along with your effort must be a lot of prayer, a lot of dua, that you humble yourself before Allah. You call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you call upon Allah, this shows that you are putting your trust in Allah, that you're not putting your trust in yourself or in your plan. You are putting your trust in Allah. You are showing servitude to Allah. And remember, a dua, hiya al-ibadah. Dua is worship, right? So you are showing servitude to Allah, and that is the best thing to do when you are in difficulty. Now, before we talk about the different du'as that we can make in times of hardship, let us talk a little bit about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in hardship. So first of all, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, why? For His worship, and in order to test us, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In order to test us to see which of us is excellent in their deeds. Yani in difficulty and ease, what is it that we choose to do? Because the changing circumstances reveal our true self, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes our circumstances from ease to hardship, hardship to ease, with hardship ease. Why? To bring our true self out, right? To test us as to what kind of actions we choose to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ الصَّابِرِينَ. Did you think that you were just going to enter paradise like that? While Allah has not yet known those people who strive among you and those people who are patient? Meaning Allah will certainly test you to distinguish those who strive and those who don't, those who are patient and those who are not patient. So in life, tests are inevitable. They are guaranteed. Hardship is a given. All right? It is a promise of Allah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. We will definitely, indeed, test you all with something مِنَ الْخَوْفِ of fear, وَالْجُوعِ and hunger. Allah will test you with hunger. So for example, there are days when you're able to, you know, eat really well at suhoor time and keep a fast and you don't really get hungry. And then there are those days when you miss your suhoor and so you fast on an empty stomach with hunger. Allah will test you with hunger. So for example, at the time of iftar, there are days when you get the best delicious iftar, and then there are days when you get a cold meal or food that you don't really enjoy, and you stay hungry because you don't really eat properly, you don't feel satiated. So this hunger is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you through your hunger. That how do you respond? How do you behave with those around you? And how do you respond to Allah when you get hungry? وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Shortage of wealth. You will lose money. وَالْأَنْفُسِ. You will lose, people you love. والثمرات, loss of fruit, of produce, of your income, the result of your hard effort. Sometimes that happens. You work on something for so long, waiting for the fruit of your effort, only to find out that the fruit was ruined. The results were ruined. Something happened because of which you don't get to enjoy the fruit of your hard labor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who are patient. When are they patient? They're patient at the time of fear. They're patient at the time of hunger. They're patient at the time of loss of wealth, the loss of loved ones, the loss of the fruit of their effort. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who are patient. Good news of what? Good news of what's coming up ahead. Can he think about it? If someone has just suffered a loss or they're experiencing hardship, any good news for what? You would think that good news is kind of like a mockery or sarcasm. No, this is not mockery. This is hope that, okay, you are in hardship right now, but rejoice over what's coming up ahead. And this means that by definition, hardship for the believer is meant to bring what is good and what is better in the future. And that good, that better can be in this world, it can also be in the next world. So for example, in this world, what happens? One day, you miss your suhoor, you're hungry all day, but then when you get to eat a delicious, satisfying meal at the time of iftar, doesn't that bring you so much delight and comfort and joy? And one day, okay, you don't get to have the best meal at iftar time. You don't get to enjoy it. But then the next day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something that's much better. So understand this about trials, that when a person is tested, that means that in the future is ease. In the future is something good that you will enjoy. But that is only guaranteed to you if you observe sabr at the time of hardship. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who are patient, not those who are tested. Because everyone is tested, but not everyone is patient. The good reward is promised to those who are patient. And who are those who are patient? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. There are those people who, when some difficulty, some trial hits them, they say, the first thing they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, to Him we will return. We belong to Allah, Allah will take care of us. Right? I belong to Allah. Allah owns me. And the owner is the one who looks after his property. Right? Who ensures that his property does not go waste, right? So I belong to Allah. Allah will take care of me. He will ensure that I don't suffer, that He will compensate. So inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we're going to turn back to Allah. We're going to return to Him. And that means that this difficulty is not going to last forever. After the difficulties of the world is the relief and the joy and the ease and the blessings of Jannah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So those who say this at the time of hardship, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةً, those are the ones who will receive blessings from their Lord and also mercy. And you know, salawat also means good mention, good praise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them before His angels in a positive way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises His patient slaves before His angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His special mercy on such slaves, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّدُونَ, and they are the ones who are rightly guided. Who? Those who are patient. And those who are not patient, they're not guided in their hardship. Then their hardship, you know, it overcomes them. They're not able to think clearly. They're not able to act properly. And then they only get themselves in greater hardship. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely test those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did the people think that they will be left simply because they say we believe and then they will not be tested? No, they will be tested. Saying I believe is not a protection against the trials of life. Because some people think that if I'm a Muslim, if I believe in Allah, and if I love Allah, and if I worship Allah, that means I should be protected against the hardships of this world. I should not suffer any difficulty. No, it's actually the reverse. When you believe, when you say, I believe in Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test the sincerity of this claim. He is going to test the worth, the strength of this claim that you're making. And we see that in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us not only with evil or with something that we find evil and hard and difficult, but He also tests us with ease. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Everything in your life is a trial. Difficulty appears to be a trial because it's inconvenient, right? But when we are in ease, that is also a trial. And we forget that it's a trial because it's convenient, right? It brings us some kind of joy or some kind of happiness, some kind of benefit. So we don't think that it is a trial. Whereas that ease is also a trial. And in a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His slaves. Why? In order to raise their levels, in order to raise their ranks, in order to purify them, in order to bring them some kind of benefit. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرٌ يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. Whoever Allah intends good for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that person in a trial, in difficulty. We think that if Allah wants good for us, then we should be immune to any hardship. We should not face any hardship. It's the opposite. When Allah wants good for you, He will put you in difficulty. You know why? Because there are so many benefits you get through difficulty that you cannot get through ease. And inshallah, we'll talk about those benefits. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the magnitude of the reward, the magnitude of reward is in proportion to the magnitude of the affliction. Allahu Akbar. Yani the greater the trial, the greater the reward. When Allah, who is great and glorious, loves a people, He puts them in hardship. And those who accept it gladly receive Allah's good pleasure. And those who are upset and displeased receive Allah's displeasure. SubhanAllah. When you are in difficulty, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want bad for you. He wants good for you. Because this difficulty is going to become a source of, it's going to become a gateway, right, to a lot of good in your life. So those who accept the difficulty happily, how can you be happy with a difficulty? You are happy with Allah. Not that you are very happy that you have a fever. No, who's happy when they have a fever? Who's happy with a headache? We are not expected to find joy in pain or with pain, but rather we are expected to be happy with Allah in all circumstances. That we're not angry with Allah that Ya Allah, why did you put me in this difficulty? No, we should always be happy with Allah. That Ya Allah, I accept your decree. If this is what you decreed for me, this trial came to me with your permission, right? With your wisdom. You decreed it with your wisdom. I accept it. So the one who shows submission to Allah and happiness with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with them. So the person who approaches trials with a positive mindset, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also grant them ease, acceptance, and patience. And then eventually what will happen? They will receive huge rewards because Allah is pleased with them. But the person who is angry, who is impatient, who is annoyed, who complains about Allah, who gets irritable, then they're not able to think clearly. They're not guided to the right course of action. And they destroy the rewards that they had earned thus far. They waste their efforts. And they also waste this excellent opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them to earn good rewards. And then they eventually end up with the wrath of Allah also. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we need to show submission to Allah and happiness with Allah when we are put in any difficulty. And how do you show happiness with Allah? You say positive words. You say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. You say حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. You say رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. You say وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَى بَعْدَ الْقَضَاءِ. You say positive words. And you also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease. When we look at the lives of the righteous, those who are close to Allah, the prophets of Allah, we see that all of the prophets of Allah were tested with hardship, some kind of hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلُ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. The messengers before you were denied, and they were patient over their denial, meaning over the fact that people denied them, and they suffered hurt in every different, you know, possible way. They suffered hurt until our help came to them. Nuh alayhi salam, what happened to him? 950 years. He strove in order to convey the message of Allah to his people. Musa alayhi salam was tested through Fir'aun, right? Fir'aun his crimes are well known. Yaqub alayhi salam was tested through his beloved son, right? That his beloved son Yusuf was taken away from him. How? By his other sons. So he was tested in regard to all of his children. Yusuf alayhi salam was tested through imprisonment, right? Through because of the women that he ended up in prison for a crime that he never committed. Ayyub alayhi salam was tested. How? Through loss of family, wealth, and also illness, disease in his body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna wajadnahu sabira. Indeed, we found him to be patient. In some narrations, we learn that he suffered his illness for 18 years. 18 years. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, used to think that the day of Uhud was the most difficult day for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one day she asked him that, did you ever encounter a day harder than the day of Uhud? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to her the day of Ta'if, yani his experience at Ta'if, that how incredibly hard that was. That he couldn't be in Makkah because, you know, Makkah was not safe for him. His uncle Abu Talib, who used to give him protection, had died. So he went to Ta'if in order to find some kind of cooperation from there. He didn't just face rejection. People chased him out. Astaghfirullah. Anyhow, not only embarrassing, but painful and frightening and physically hurtful. Where was he supposed to go? What was he supposed to do? Where to go? What to do? That day was incredibly hard on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, who was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was also hurt by the people when they slandered her of a crime she never committed. And the rumor spread. And the people begin to believe that rumor so much that, in her words, she said that, that I know that even if I were to tell you I'm innocent, you will not believe me, because you have heard the lies so much that my claim of innocence is not going to convince you. And so she said what Yaqub alayhi salam said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So patience is most beautiful. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So remember that, the prophets, the righteous, were all tested. So when a person is tested, it doesn't mean that Allah does not like them, that Allah wants evil for them, that Allah is displeased with them. There's multiple factors behind a trial, but ultimately, every trial in this world is good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you, because that trial is either going to lead you to turn back to Allah, right? To introspect, to look at your own shortcomings. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better worshiper. It's going to be a means of purification. It's going to be a means of drawing closer to Allah. So trials, ultimately, remember, they are good for us. Now, this doesn't mean we ask for trials. No. Rather, when we are experiencing any kind of hardship, any kind of trial, we should seek ease. How should we seek ease? First of all, we seek it through iman and amal salih. faith and righteous action. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the one who believes and does righteous deeds, فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى, he will have an excellent reward. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. And Dhul-Qarnayn, he said that we will speak to him from our command with ease. And there will be ease for the person who believes and does righteous action. We learn that whoever does righteous action, whether male or female, while they're a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person a good life. حَيَاتٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them ease. One of the scholars said that the outcome of obedience to Allah is in the form of success and goodness in this world and in the next. Meaning when a person is obedient to Allah, they find success, they find goodness in this world and in the next. And the most fortunate among all the creatures is the one who is most ahead in obedience and servitude to Allah. The success of the slave is in doing what his Lord has ordered him to do and in leaving what his Lord has forbidden him from. This is how we attain success. This is how we bring ease, we welcome ease into our lives by showing servitude and obedience to Allah. Ibn Qayyim said that Allah is the Lord of the worlds, the most merciful of those who show mercy, and the most powerful of those who have power. And his approval can only be gained by showing obedience to him. If you want his mercy, if you want his help, if you want that his power is with you, not against you, then you can only do that by showing obedience to him. Secondly, after iman and amal salih, another important thing is that we must adopt the taqwa of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever is conscious of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for him in his affair. In another ayah, whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will create for him an exit. An exit out of what? A way out from every matter that becomes constricted on him. Any difficulty that he finds himself in because of his taqwa, because of his fear of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him out. And in difficult times, we should put our trust in Allah. So after taqwa, another important thing is tawakkul, that we put our faith in Allah. Because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. And Ibn Rajab said that when a difficulty gets worse, it intensifies, then the slave begins to despair of the creation. And you begin to give up hope of the creation and no longer seeks them or turns to them for relief. For example, you are sick, you have fever. And what happens? You message a friend, I'm not feeling well. They don't see the message. The message doesn't even show that it's been read. You call your mother. She does not answer the phone call. You call, someone else. They don't respond, right? You tell people at your workplace you won't be in because you're not feeling well. Nobody sees that email for a very long time. Hours go by and nobody reaches out to check up on you. Why? Because they don't care? No, because they didn't even know or they didn't even realize that you needed help. So as you wait on people that somebody will call, somebody will check up on me, somebody will, bring me something that I need, and one after the other people disappoint you and you're waiting for so long and the difficulty intensifies, the pain gets harder in your body, then what do? You make dua. You turn to Allah. So when difficulty intensifies, what happens? You give up hope of the creation and you place your hope and trust in Allah. Your heart turns towards Allah alone. And then you get to experience true tawakkul, true reliance on Allah. Otherwise, yes, we say that, yes, I put my trust in Allah. I tawakkaltu ala Allah. We say these things, but we don't truly experience it until we learn to give up hope of people. Then another thing we need to do in difficulty is that we turn to Allah and we seek his help. Like Musa alayhi salam said to his people, seek help from Allah, wasbiru, and be patient. In difficulty, we should always think good about Allah. like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in the cave when he said, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Allah is with us. Don't be sad. So what happened? When he thought positively about Allah, when he believed positive thoughts about Allah, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his sakina, his tranquility on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him with armies, forces, which are not visible to people. And he threw his angels. In difficulty, what we need to do is that we should put our needs before Allah alone. In a hadith, we learn that whoever suffers from destitution and he beseeches the people for it, his destitution shall not end. And whoever suffers from destitution and he beseeches Allah for it, Allah will send provisions to him sooner or later. Because rizq, sustenance, relief is not in the hands of people. It is in the hand of Allah alone. So if you put your hardships before people, you think your pain, your difficulty, your hunger, your poverty is going to go away? No, it's not going to go away. Because people are not able to give you anything unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them. So the help comes from Allah. So go straight to the source. Ask him for help. And then be certain that with difficulty is ease and after difficulty is also ease. Al-Tabari says about the ayah, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا, that after hardship there is ease. After constriction there is vastness. After poverty there is abundance. And by Allah's command, remember that every hardship can go away. And this can be visible or hidden. Yani the help of Allah, the relief from Allah comes in different ways. In ways that are tangible and also ways that are intangible. Sometimes the help comes in a way that is very apparent, and sometimes it comes in a way that is unapparent, hidden from us. So for example, if a person is ill, right, then it is Allah's promise that after hardship is ease. So how does ease come to them? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them good health, right? That illness, that disease, that sickness goes away. Sometimes that ease comes in the form of becoming free of people, becoming independent of people, becoming detached from the creation. Why? Because difficulty teaches you that I should not put my trust in Allah. I should not put my trust in people. I should put my trust in Allah alone. This is what difficulty teaches you. So the help of Allah comes in different ways. Sometimes the help of Allah and ease comes in the form of Allah helping you in being patient, that now your capacity to bear hardship increases, right? You have a greater capacity to deal with challenges. And now this means that you will be able to do more in life, because the fear of discomfort, keeps us away from moving ahead. But when we suffer hardship, what does that teach us? That you are capable. You can do this. With the help of Allah, you can go forward. You can take on this challenge. You can do this thing that is hard. Right? So this is also how the help of Allah comes. On the other hand, impatience, what does that do? It makes things worse. It doesn't make things easy. We learned that the help of Allah comes with patience. The Prophet ﷺ said that إِنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, the help of Allah comes with patience. Relief comes with affliction. Yani when there is affliction, then there is relief. And when there is patience, then there is ease. Without patience, you cannot find ease. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said about the ayah إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ, that if hardship enters a hole, then ease enters along with it. So for example, if something difficult enters your life, okay, enters your home, then along with that, there is also ease. You know, for example, you are working on something on your computer. Let's say you're working on a document, right? And then there is some weird kind of, glitches that begin to appear. And you don't know what's happening. You cannot figure out. So a problem has entered. But you know what? With that problem, double ease has entered along with it. And subhanAllah, it's happened with me so many times that when I experience a challenge, a difficulty in my computer, right, in any way, and I find double ease after that. You know, for example, I will ask my brother to help me figure out what is happening, my husband to help me figure out what is happening. And in the process, I learn something new that helps me do my work in a more efficient and better way. So believe in this, that when difficulty enters your life, double ease has also entered at the same time. And be certain that ease is near. It's not late. All right? The help, sometimes it comes a little later than you expect. But remember, it's not late. It's at the perfect time, because now you are fully ready for it. You know, for example, if things are working out and somebody teaches you a shortcut to use on your computer, you'll never bother because you're comfortable in your ways. But when you are in some difficulty, something's not working out, and then someone teaches you a shortcut or two, then you will actually use them. Why? Because now you are ready for it. You are welcoming that ease. And the entire time that you're waiting for relief and ease is not time that is wasted. It is actually worship. It is worship. So you are rewarded. Because when you're waiting for ease, when you're the entire time that you're waiting for things to become easy, what are you doing? You're observing sabr. You are showing that you believe in the promise of Allah. You are placing your hope in Allah. And all of this is worship. All of this is something that the slave is rewarded for. But when, you know, you are doing whatever is within your capacity to find ease, you are praying to Allah, you are making dua, and things are becoming increasingly hard, or they're becoming increasingly unbearable, then do not blame Allah. Rather, this is time to introspect. This is time to check yourself. That what do I need to change in myself in order to receive the help of Allah? Because Allah's promise is true. He sends His help. The obstacle, the hurdle, is on my part. There's something that I am doing that is preventing the help of Allah from reaching me. So what is that obstacle? What is that barrier that I am putting because of which I am repelling the help of Allah? You understand? So don't blame Allah, blame yourself. And check yourself that what do I need to change? And if you're honest with yourself, you will find a lot of things to change in yourself. So for example, maybe when the hardship continues for long, you will finally make dua. And you will not just make dua in passing or while rushing. No, you will make dua properly. So for example, you will make wudu. We learned about the different ways of, you know, of increasing the chances of your dua being accepted. And of them is that you make wudu, you face the qibla, you raise your hands, you praise and glorify Allah, you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you make dua, and then again you send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then again you make dua, and you use wasila. So for example, you mention the names of Allah, and then you again send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you give sadaqah, you give you do certain good deeds, you recite Quran, you make more dhikr, you do some silatul rahim, you think about changing some behaviors in yourself. And when you change those behaviors in yourself, for example, you check yourself and you see that, you know, your attitude with your mother is not the best. You're not really spending enough time with her. You're not being kind to her. You're not giving her the attention that she deserves. And then you change your behavior. When the help of Allah is not coming the way that you want, or it's getting delayed, things are getting, you know, progressively harder, you see that, you know, my behavior with my parents is not the best. So now you change your behavior. And as you change your behavior, you become a better version of yourself. You, this difficulty is forcing you to become better, to set your priorities right, to pray salah in a better way, to be more consistent in your prayers, to be more consistent in your dhikr, to seek more forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. right? So you set your priorities right, you change your behavior, and then you increase in your good deeds, and you leave the sins that are in your life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. As for he who gives and fears Allah and believes in the best reward, we will ease him toward ease. How does ease come? It comes when you give and when you have taqwa and when you believe the best reward that Allah has promised. So what is it that you have to give? That's not specified over here, which means that you can give whatever you can. It can be in the form of showing obedience to Allah. So for example, you pray more salah, you pray more nafil prayer, you give more sadaqah, you spend, right, in the way of Allah, you do good to people, the door is open. There's no limit. You can give, you can do as much good as you want. You can be generous, more generous than you ever have been. A'ta, think about what you can give. Wattaqa, and fear Allah. And this includes leaving sins. So check yourself. What words do I need to leave in my language? What behaviors do I need to change in my life, in myself? What are the things that displease Allah, which are a major part of my life? I need to leave them. So you strive against yourself. Wattaqa. And then you keep reminding yourself, Allah's promise is true. Allah's word is true. So when you do that, فَسَنُوْيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. This is how ease will come. And especially seek the help of Allah through patience and through prayer, not with impatience, with patience. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْبِ الْعُمُورِ. And yes, patience is not something easy. It is of the matters requiring determination. You need to be determined to have sabr. You need to have a lot of composure. You need to be deliberate, intentional, that I am going to have sabr. And when you do sabr, you're not wasting yourself. Yaqub alayhi salam, when he realized that he could not do anything, you know, to discipline his sons or to get them to bring their brother back, he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So beautiful patience is what I am going to observe. And it's possible that Allah will bring all of my sons back to me. And what happened? Because of his beautiful patience, Allah did bring all of his children back to him. This is how the help of Allah comes, through patience. Ibn Qayyim said that there are three things that help a person observe patience over hardship. First of all, when a person keeps the good reward in mind. When you remind yourself, when you keep reminding yourself that there is good reward for sabr, you have delayed gratification, right? Secondly, you wait for ease and relief because you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised ease. So you wait for it. You expect it and you wait for it. You believe that it's coming. You don't give up hope. When you don't give up hope, then what will happen? You will have sabr. You know, for example, you know that you're not going to fast forever. You're only going to fast until the time that the sun sets, right? So you, when you know that there's only a couple hours left, then you have patience. You check the clock, you see 5 hours left. You check the clock, you see 3 hours left. You check the clock, 30 minutes left, 5 minutes left. And when you know that it's going to end, right, you have sabr. So just like that, you should know that every period of hardship in your life, every kind of trial in your life has an end. There is relief that Allah has promised. So when you wait for that relief, when you believe that that relief is coming, then you will be able to have sabr. And thirdly, another thing that helps a person be patient is when a person repels the hardship with two things. What are these two things? Gratitude over present blessings and gratitude over past blessings. Shukr. Start being grateful for what Allah has given you now and start being grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you before. And when you focus on the blessings that Allah has given you, then sabr will become easy. Another important thing is that in hardship, strengthen your connection with the Quran. This can be in the form of listening to more Quran, reciting more Quran, reflecting on the Quran, memorizing Quran, reviewing the parts of the Quran that you have memorized. In whatever way, strengthen your connection with the Quran, because that brings ease. A pious man was asked that how much Quran should a person recite every day? He said, recite in proportion to the happiness and success that you wish for. And if you want a lot of happiness, recite a lot of Quran. If you want a lot of success, recite a lot of Quran. If you want a little bit, then okay, recite a little bit. And some mufassirun, they said that we got busy with the Quran and the blessings of Allah and good things covered us. And we got shrouded in the blessings of Allah when we became busy with the Quran. Another important thing is that when you are in difficulty, then do not be impatient. And in impatience, do not begin to scream and wail. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that this kind of a sound, wailing in musibah, is a sound that is mal'oon, that is cursed. And imagine now, a person is already in difficulty, all right? And because of because of being unable to control themselves, they are showing so much impatience, and now they begin to wail and scream. So what's going to happen? They're inviting the curse of Allah. They're not going to receive the mercy of Allah. Things are only going to get worse, harder for them, more unbearable for them. Another important thing is don't complain to people. Don't complain to people about Allah. How? That don't complain to people that I have this thing hard in my life and this and that, and begin to list all of your problems before them. Don't do that. Because now you're complaining to them about Allah. Who allowed those difficulties in your life? Who put you in all of those hardships? Whether it is personal, in your work, in your body, in your time, in your money, in your work, in any kind of difficulty that you're facing, and you are constantly complaining about them before people, you are basically complaining about Allah. Don't do that. We learn in a hadith that when a person is tested with illness, and people come to visit him, and he does not complain to them about Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises him a good reward, that either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him good health, such that his flesh will be replaced by better flesh, his blood will be replaced by better blood, all right? Or that, and also the ability to do good deeds, all right? Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him better in the hereafter. But what is guaranteed is good reward from Allah. When you don't complain about Allah to people. And in difficulty also, do not show weakness. Weakness in the sense that that a person begins to give up hope. And they don't try hard. Do not stop trying. Keep trying. Do whatever is within your capacity. And increase in your gratitude. Gratitude for what? Imam Sharbi, he said that Shureh said that when I am struck by some difficulty, I praise Allah for it four times. And I thank Allah four times for that difficulty. Why? First of all, I say Alhamdulillah for the fact that it was not worse than it is. Because that difficulty could have been worse. Secondly, I say Alhamdulillah because Allah gave me the ability to be patient, to be patient over it. Thirdly, I say Alhamdulillah because Allah gave me the ability to say Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. And then fourthly, I am grateful to Allah. I say Alhamdulillah because that difficulty was not in my deen. It was in my dunya. Allah protected me from, for example, a hypocrisy or doubt. Or a defiance. Allah protected me. That trial could be in my deen, but it was not in my deen. It was in my dunya, my worldly matters. So Alhamdulillah, four times Alhamdulillah for one problem. Another important thing is that in hardship, think about how you can bring ease to others. Because in a hadith, we learned that the one who alleviates the suffering of a believer, meaning a suffering from the sufferings of the world, then Allah will alleviate his suffering from the sufferings of the day of resurrection. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him ease on the day of judgment. And the person who finds relief for the one who is hard pressed, Allah will make things easy for him in the hereafter. And the hadith continues that Allah is in the aid of his slave as long as the slave is in the aid of his brother. As long as you are helping people, Allah will help you. Because, you know, sometimes we think when things are getting tough that I should stop caring about others and I should start caring about myself. So I'm not going to help my mother. I'm not going to help my father. I'm not going to do this favor for my friend. I'm not going to do that favor for that friend or for that acquaintance. No, I got to put me first. And so I'm going to ignore everyone. I'm going to leave everyone. And I'm going to say no to everyone and everything. And I'm just going to focus on myself. Okay, do that. But then don't expect blessing in your life. Maybe the help that you have so far is because of the fact that you are helping others. And if you stop helping them, who knows? The little help that you have may be removed entirely. And perhaps instead of blaming other people that because they're in your life and they're such a big burden on you that you have to do everything for them, maybe instead of blaming them, blame yourself. And see, do you have your priorities right? Are you giving the haqq of Allah? Are you giving the haqq of your parents? You need to change something in yourself. You know, we deflect blame. We blame others. And we don't want to hold ourselves accountable. So remember that helping others is a way of receiving the help of Allah. Another important thing is that please make dua for yourself. When you're in hardship, don't just continue to suffer. Don't just continue to be in pain. No, raise your hands before Allah. Ask Allah for help. You know, sometimes we turn to people, we read book after book to figure out how to help ourselves. That's fine. You have to use the means that are at your disposal. But don't forget to pray. The Prophet ﷺ said that the weakest of all people is the one who is too weak to make dua. Make dua. Raise your hands before Allah. Ask Him, Ya Allah, help me. Seek forgiveness from Him. Ask Him for aid. Ask Him for relief. Ask Him for whatever that you are in need of. Health, wealth, abundance, ease. Whatever it is that you are in need of, ask Allah. He is able to do all things. He is able to give you what you are in need of. And call upon Allah a lot in good times so that your dua in difficulty is also heard. Another important thing is that in hardship, increase in your dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers in the Quran that when you face an enemy, then be firm and remember Allah a lot so that you are successful. And in hadith, we learn that as long as a person is remembering Allah, Allah is with him. Subhanallah. So when you are in difficulty and you remember Allah, then your difficulty will turn into ease. What you are finding hard will become easy for you. What is tough and painful for you will become easy for you. What is worrying you will go away. Allah is able to do that for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Why do you not seek forgiveness from Allah so that you can receive mercy? So if you want ease, seek forgiveness from Allah. Make dhikr and also seek forgiveness from Allah. Seek forgiveness, especially while you're fasting, at the time when you break your fast, in the night when you wake up. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. At the time of suhoor, especially seek forgiveness from Allah. Now, another thing is that in difficulty, we must introspect. We must look at ourselves, that what is it that I am doing on my part because of which there is hardship? Maybe it is the result of my own wrongdoing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to learn a lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to change, to become better already. Because I have delayed a lot. I have procrastinated a lot. There were promises that I made to myself, to Allah, long time ago, that I will memorize a surah of the Quran, that I will go for umrah, that I will do such and such good deed. And maybe I have still not done that. I had maybe made promises that I will leave such and such sin, and I still have not left it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم. Any مصيبة, any difficulty that you suffer, then it is the result of your own hands. It is the result of what your hands have earned. When a person turns away from the remembrance of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Such a person will have a difficult life, a very constricted life. So check yourself. How connected are you with the Quran? How connected are you with Salah? How often do you remember Allah? When we do not make time for the worship of Allah, we learn in hadith that if anyone, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O son of Adam, make time for my worship, I will fill your chest with richness and I will remove your poverty. And if you do not do that, I will fill your hands with occupation, with busyness. You will always be busy. You will never have time for yourself, and I will not remove your poverty. So check yourself. Are you making time for ibadah? Ibadah of salah, ibadah of umrah, ibadah of spending in the way of Allah, ibadah of helping the creation of Allah, ibadah of being good to your parents. Because after the haqq of Allah is the haqq of parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا comes right after do not associate partners with Allah. So are you making time for ibadah? Make time for ibadah. Another thing is that when we make worldly things our ultimate concern, then we learn in hadith that poverty hangs before our eyes then. And sometimes we are tangled up in problem after problem because we are obsessed with this world. Our goals revolve around worldly goals. We are not concerned about the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to shift our focus. So shift your focus from dunya to akhirah. Another thing is that when we are stingy with our time, with our forgiveness, with our wealth, with our thoughts, any positive thoughts, we don't extend them to people. So what happens? There are difficulties in life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. The one who is stingy and thinks himself as independent, so he doesn't humble himself before Allah, and he denies the best reward, he thinks that dunya is everything, then such a person will be led towards difficulty. Meaning, there will be difficulty upon difficulty. And the ultimate difficulty is the difficulty of hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So, in summary, when we are in difficulty, then we need to think positive thoughts about Allah, and we need to believe that there is good in this, and we need to introspect and check what is it that we need to change in ourselves, and we have to seek the help of Allah. Seek the help of Allah by changing behaviors, by doing certain things, and especially by calling upon Allah. And now, what are some du'as that we can make to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease? First of all, the du'a of Ashabul Kahf. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. That our Lord grant us from yourself mercy. I need a lot of mercy from you, especially from you. And prepare for us from our affair right guidance. Show me the way. Tell me what to do. Guide me to the best course of action. Another dua, the dua of Musa alayhi salam. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. That, oh my Lord, expand my chest for me. Because in difficulty, what happens? You feel like your chest is getting constricted. You cannot breathe. And especially if a person experiences anxiety or panic, then literally they cannot breathe. You feel so alone, so constricted, so limited, so helpless in your difficulty. So ask Allah, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, expand for me my chest. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And make my task easy for me. Ask Allah for ease. Use the dua of, say the dua of Yunus alayhi salam. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no deity except you. Glory be to you. It is I am of those who are wrong. I am at fault, Ya Rab. You did not do anything wrong. You did not make a mistake in putting me in hardship. I am the one who is wrong. So confess your mistake before Allah. And in hadith, we learned that when a person says this dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from him his karb, his bala, yani whatever affliction or trial that he is experiencing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that. Another dua we can say is Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. And in another hadith we learn Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushrika bi shay'a. But here Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah. Allah is my Lord. La sharika lah means he has no partner. Okay, not I do not associate anything with him. You can make this correction. La sharika lah means that he has no partner. In hadith, we learned that whoever is afflicted by some worry, some grief, some illness, or any kind of difficulty, and he says, Allahu Rabbi la sharika lah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that hardship from him. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that from you. Another dua we can make, Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla. That, oh Allah, there is no ease at all except for what you make easy. Yani there is no ease except for the ease that you make, except for the ease that you create, except for the ease that you grant. And you are able to make hazan, yani difficulty or grief, into ease whenever that you want. You can convert this difficulty into ease whenever you want, Ya Rab. So, Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. And sahl is used for soft, smooth, leveled ground. Hazan is used for rugged, hard ground. Okay? So when you have to pass through, walk through ground that is rugged, that is difficult to walk on, you get exhausted. Maybe you get hurt. Maybe you sprain your foot. Right? It's difficult. It takes you so long to cross a short distance. And sahal, any ground that is smooth, that is level, that is open, easy to traverse, any, it's so easy. You get so much done so quickly. So, la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Nothing is easy to traverse except what you make easy. And you can make hazan, rugged, hard ground, right? Difficult passage, easy whenever you want. So you are basically surrendering your matter to Allah. You are putting your trust in Allah. That, Ya Allah, what I am finding difficult, whether it is an act of worship, or it is giving people their haqq, or it is you know, some bad habit that I want to get rid of, or it is that I made a promise and I'm not able to fulfill it. Any kind of difficulty, whether it is financial, or it is in your marriage, or it is in your children, or it is in your employment, in your business. It could be small, like for example, you're driving and you're stuck in traffic. It could be big, like for example, you have to take a major exam. Or it's hazan, it's grief, it's sadness that you're not able to even disclose to the people. You're not able to share the feelings in your heart with the people. Whatever it is, Allah is able to make it easy because all matters are in the hand of Allah. So Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Repeat this over and over again. It's an affirmation also, right? Another thing we can say, another dua, dhikr we can say is la ilaha illallahu al-halim al-kareem. There is no deity except Allah, the ever forbearing, the ever generous. La ilaha illallahu al-aliyyu al-azeem. There is no deity except Allah, the ever high, the ever great. La ilaha illallahu rabbu as-samawati as-sab'i wa rabbu al-arshi al-azeem. There is no deity except Allah, the Lord of the seven skies and the Lord of the great throne. You are basically affirming the oneness of Allah. And you are mentioning his perfect names, his perfect attributes in this. And we learn in the hadith that these words are the words of farj, yani the words that create openness in your life, opening, vastness in your life. So for example, sometimes you're really working hard at work and you're not getting the promotion that you wish for. You're not getting the increase in your pay, or you know, you want, you're applying for a program, you want to study in it, You're not getting acceptance anywhere. You want to work. You're not finding work anywhere. So you want an opening in your life, right? You find all the doors closed. Any kind of opening in your life, say these words. That Allah, no God but you. You are forbearing. You are generous. You are ever high. You are ever great. You are the Lord of the seven skies. You are the Lord of the great throne. Another dua we can make. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wa ajirna min khizyi dunya wa adhab al-akhirah. The Prophet ﷺ would make this dua that, O Allah, grant a good end to all our matters and save us from the humiliation in this world and the punishment of the hereafter. Because difficulty, the outcome can be very painful, very severe. So you're asking Allah for a good outcome for everything in your life. And you're asking Him to save you from humiliation in this world and also the punishment of the hereafter. Another dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min dhiqi dunya wa dhiqi yawm al-qiyamah. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the constriction of the world and the constriction of the day of judgment. Any whatever constriction I'm experiencing right now in my life, whether it is in my relationship or it is in my money, in my life, trials make you feel very constricted in your home. Whatever constriction I am experiencing, Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from that. And also save me from the constriction of the day of judgment. Don't put me in difficulty on that day. Bring me ease on that day. Another dua, this is also Masnoon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say this on getting up from a gathering, right? At the end of a gathering, Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma yahulu baynana wa bayna ma'asik. That, O Allah, apportion for us fear of you that shall come between us and disobedience of you. And you grant us your fear that will become a barrier between me and disobedience to you. وَمِن طَاعَتِكَ مَا تُبَلِّغُنَا بِهِ جَنَّتَكَ. And of obedience to you, which shall cause us to obtain your paradise. Meaning, grant me the ability to obey you so that I can reach your paradise. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مُصِيبَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. And Ya Allah, grant me conviction that will make the difficulties of this world easy on me. وَمَتِّعْنَا بِأَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُوَّاتِنَا مَا أَحْيَيْتَنَا. And grant us the ability to benefit from our hearing, our vision, our strengths for as long as we live. وَجَعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا. And make all of these faculties inherit from me. Meaning make them outlive me, because an heir outlives you. So cause me to, allow me to benefit from these abilities until I die. وَجَعَلْ ثَأْرَنَا عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى مَنْ عَادَانَا. And let our vengeance be upon those who have wronged us and aid us against those who show enmity towards us. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. And do not make this world our greatest concern. And do not make our affliction in our religion. And do not make this world our greatest concern. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. Don't make us suffer in regard to our deen. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا. Do not make the dunya the greatest of our concern. وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا, nor the extent of our knowledge. وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. And do not impose on us someone who will not show mercy to us. And here we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from afflictions in deen, trials in deen. Because when a person suffers a trial in their deen, that can actually lead them to shirk. That can make them forget to worship Allah. It can make them turn toward hypocrisy and deceit and disobedience. How often it happens that because of poverty, right, a person ends up committing crimes, theft. Or a person is afflicted in his deen, so he thinks negative thoughts about Allah. And that leads to kufr and shirk. So we're asking Allah that, Ya Allah, protect us from such trials. And any trial that we experience in the world, you help us. And especially when we suffer at the hands of people, Ya Allah, you help us against them. Insha'Allah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.